Good morning and welcome to each and every one of you. Glad that you are here today. And it's good to see the church family. Good to have visitors with us today. Glad to see each and every one. Josh, it's great to see you up and running around again. Yeah, you snuck in on us. Glad that you're here. And it is good to see everybody else too. Yes. Josh has been out away from us for a while, a broken leg, and so finally here today with us once again. Well, if you have your Bibles with you today or want to take one of those that are available under the chairs, we're going to be looking at the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you want to make your way over there. One of the early sayings that I learned when I was just a little guy was, when it rains, it pours. Ever heard that one before? We have all kinds of little sayings. There's Murphy's Law. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. You haven't had that trouble, have you? It's been kind of interesting at our household. Several things have kind of fallen apart around our place last month. God is on top of it, though. Amen. He always is taking care of us. And you know, in fact, people have developed all kinds of sayings that summarize the events and the challenges of life. Christians also have converted many of the scriptures and statements within the Bible that into easily remembered little statements. Jesus is the way. God is love. WWJD. Y'all know what that one is. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Be faithful until tomorrow? No, death. Death. Be faithful unto death. There's several scriptural statements that we repeat frequently, trying to remind each other to walk in the righteous path of God. Sales marketers are constantly looking for ways to convince people that they need their products. You've probably received some of those flyers, those mailings in the mail. I get a stack of mail every week, and a lot of it is advertisement. Come and buy our stuff. You've probably received mailings that say that somebody else has better insurance. Somebody else has better windows. You need to fix your windows. Somebody else has better credit cards. Somebody else has better loans. Somebody else has a better bargain. Somebody else has a better vehicle for you. I mean, the list is endless, trying to convince us to get something else. And then there's another saying that comes to my mind when I see all of those. Beware of the fine print. Look out for the little expectations that go along with what they offer to you. No interest today, but look out. It's going to hit you like a ton of bricks later on. We read in the Bible that there is one God, creator of everything, who brought the entire universe into being. He assembled it. God reached the climax of his creation by putting mankind in this world to live on the earth, to take care of this world. And then God clearly told Adam and Eve in the garden what he expected them to do. Take care of this garden. You can eat anything you want except from this one tree. Those were the expectations. What happened? Adam and Eve didn't listen, did they? They broke the rule, and as a result, sin has entered into the world, affecting all humanity, all mankind, us included. God did not stop loving humanity, though, once sin entered. God has continued informing people of what he has expected of us. God continually provided for people. Where does everything come from? It comes from God, the scripture says. God gives us life. God gives us breath. He gives us food. He gives us the air. He gives us the sunshine. He gives us everything. And God calls for us to turn back to Him in appreciation. Through all of humanity's sinfulness, though, God spoke of and then provided a Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus did what He was supposed to do, and then He's promised to come back again. God in human flesh continued teaching mankind to be aware of what is expected of them. Most of the world's population operate under the lie of Satan, that they use the little pet phrase, beware of what Christians say. Not be aware, but beware. Those Christians, they're kind of lunatics. They're kind of wild. They got some crazy ideas, crazy beliefs. And I admit that there are groups that have kind of twisted and perverted and become quite different from what the Scriptures teach us. But the truth is that the Almighty God of life wants all people to be aware of what He expects of us. We who claim to be Christians are to be aware of what God expects from us. Are we fully aware of what God wants us to be doing? The Apostle Paul had poured a tremendous amount of time in effort into the lives of the Christians at the town of Corinth. Paul spent over a year and a half, if I remember correctly, at Corinth in personally teaching those people. Then he wrote the book of 1 Corinthians back to them, because we've studied the book of 1 Corinthians. What is all of that for? It's because the Christians had all kinds of problems. They had all kinds of misunderstandings, all kinds of issues that rose up. And so Paul was trying to correct them. He didn't reject them. He patiently, lovingly corrected them. Scripture indicates that he wrote another letter after 1 Corinthians that we no longer have. Scripture indicates and suggests that he went back and visited them personally after that first visit. And then he comes to a point where he writes 2 Corinthians. What? Paul didn't give up on those believers, even though they had all kinds of trouble. God does not give up on us. As long as we've got life and breath, God keeps calling to us. Come back to me. Do my will. Do what I expect you to do. But, unfortunately, many of those people continued in their old pathways of sin. New believers coming in, they didn't understand all the rules, regulations, all the guidelines, what it means to live in the love of God. And so there was constant teaching necessary. But we're much better than that today, right? We've got everything under control, right? No. We all need help. We all need help every single day. And so that's why we're going to be starting into this study of 2 Corinthians. And I encourage you to read ahead, study ahead, along with the other scriptures and all the other studies that you're doing. So Paul writes to them this letter, another letter. And it's not just to them, it's to all believers. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for grace and mercy and patience. Thank you for forgiveness through Jesus Christ. We thank you for your love for all mankind. We just pray that all of us can continue to come closer to you in spite of the sin and the corruption that we have participated in, the sin and the corruption of the world around us, things that lure us away from your will. Father, continue to help us. Let your Spirit move in our hearts and our minds. Help us to pay attention to your word, your will, your instructions. Father, help us to take to heart the instructions of the Apostle Paul, who was speaking in your behalf, along with all of the other scriptures that you have provided for us, saved for us, that we would learn your truth, your righteousness. Help us to be aware of what you expect from us. Help us to learn from the stories, the examples, the commands. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be reading the first 11 verses of the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation of the Scriptures. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are throughout Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also joining in helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. There's a lot of repetition of thoughts and ideas in that section, but I want to cover this in what we need to be aware of. What does God expect from us? The first point I want to touch on is the fact that Christians have been chosen and sent by God. God is willing for everyone to come to him, but he chooses those who are open to belief in him, those who are willing to follow his directions. And God chooses us to be sent out. You know, during my youth, during my childhood, a common sight included seeing these posters and commercials for joining the military. Uncle Sam wants you. Do you remember those posters? Good old Uncle Sam, dressed in the tall hat and stars and stripes outfit. Slogans invited young people, young adults, to see the world. The Army slogan, be all that you can be, join the Army. Do you remember those? Now they use modern technology, trying to draw people in, and they have other sayings that I'm not always up on. But when we look at that, there's somebody else who has been calling us. Somebody else who wants us. Who is that? God. God wants us. Jesus Christ wants us. He's been calling long, long before America was calling for soldiers. Jesus is calling for spiritual soldiers. Jesus gave his life to bring all people back to a relationship with God, to break us from the cycle of sin. Only Jesus can really make us all that we ought to be. God knows us intimately, and He wants us to be more than what we can imagine. So we see that God chose and called the Apostle Paul to become an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, the word apostle is a Greek word that means one sent, one specifically chosen and sent with a mission. We might use the term ambassador or representative. The term in the scripture, Jesus chose apostles, appointed apostles. God knows every person's desire. He knows what's in our hearts. In the life of Paul, whom we are introduced to him, his name was Saul. I'll explain that in just a second. How did God get Saul's attention? He had to blind him. Had to take away his sight and scare him to death. And he fell to the ground and he cried out in mercy, "Who is it, Lord?" And then Jesus gave him instructions. Saul was zealous. He believed in the scriptures. He had been educated in the Old Testament. He knew it frontwards, backwards, upside down. He could recite it. He could repeat it. He knew everything about the Old Testament. But he missed the main point, that God was sending the Messiah, Jesus. And in order to get his attention, he had to be blinded before he could stop, listen, and then obey God's real will. Now, regarding the name, we see this frequently in the scriptures. People had multiple names. Saul is the Hebrew name given to this man, but his Greek name was Paul. And we see that in the beginning, he's referred to as Saul because he's associated with mainly with the Hebrew people. But when he gets out into the Greek public, he was sent as a missionary to the world. He starts using his Greek name, Paul. That's why we see those two names. Several other people, like who was Cephas? Peter. Jesus gave him a new name, Peter. We see several other individuals, but let's don't dwell on that. Moving on, what else is going on here in this situation where God chooses and calls individuals, especially the Apostle Paul? The Lord instructed Paul to understand what the scriptures actually meant. He talks about this in the book of Galatians, the introduction of Galatians. He went off into Arabia for a period of about 3 years. We don't know exactly what went on, but he says that he was personally taught by Jesus. Where was Jesus? He was already in heaven. But miraculously, God, through Christ, taught the Apostle Paul a better understanding of what the Old Testament actually was saying about the Messiah. And that's why the Apostle Paul writes so much about who Jesus really is. He explains the Old Testament, how God intended it. Not the way people understood it, but the way God intended it. The Lord continued working through Paul just as he had guided the other apostles. That doesn't mean Paul was any better than the others. He was an equal messenger of Jesus Christ. The writings of Paul are inspired word of God. He is one of the most prolific writers of our New Testament, and we need to pay attention to his word. The Apostle Peter credits the Apostle Paul, and Peter even says, "You might not understand it all, but you need to listen." Ever have those people that are talking to you and you say, "Man, it's too much for me"? That's what Peter said about the Apostle Paul. But you need to pay attention, because he was inspired, just as the other apostles were inspired, to write God's word out for us to follow today. So God chose and sent the Apostle Paul. Jesus sent Paul to the Gentiles as his ambassador for life, to teach people how to come to life. All of the apostles were fully devoted servants of Jesus Christ, doing his will and spreading the good news, the gospel, of eternal life in Jesus. How many people did Jesus invite to become his followers? Everybody. We read in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, 38, he's talking to a group of his disciples and he says, you need to pray for workers to go out into the fields to spread the gospel. Pray for workers. Are we still praying for workers? We need to be praying for workers. Brother Ray brought up, we need to be teaching others to take our place. Now, you might not understand this, but I'm getting old. I can't do this when I'm in the grave. Who's going to be the next preachers? Who's going to be the next teachers? Who's going to be the next leaders of the church? Are you ready to step up? Are you learning God's word so you can take the reins and press forward in the truth of God? Is the next generation, your children, grandchildren, future generations, who's going to teach them? We are to be preparers of more workers. Jesus told his disciples, pray for workers. That's Matthew chapter 9. You know what Jesus did in the very next chapter? He turned around and then selected the 12 apostles and said, you go. And he empowered them and sent them out. He filled the 12 apostles with the Holy Spirit and sent them out on their first missionary trip of preaching and teaching and telling others about Jesus. And they came back reporting, man, you wouldn't believe what happened when we trusted in you. God's Spirit powerfully worked through their efforts. And we read in Mark chapter 6, verse 30, they returned that they were just amazed at what the Holy Spirit did through them. They faced all kinds of danger with their faith in the Son of God and in God Himself. And they spoke and wrote words that were given to them by the Holy Spirit, the New Testament as we have it today, words of God's truth. They saw the world of people that were all around them, a world filled with corruption, and the love of God motivated them to go out and to face all kinds of danger with the truth about God. Every New Testament Christian was chosen to be sent out. There's not a group of people in the church that is given a free pass. Every Christian of the New Testament was sent with the same message. After Jesus sent the apostles on their first assignment, he invited all people to come to him to find his rest, to receive his instruction to serve one another, to love one another. Jesus freed those first century believers from the burdens of sin. Jesus instructed and guided those believers in God's right way, refitting them, preparing them, putting a yoke upon them that was easy to bear. The instructions that God intended and designed. And then he empowered them with his Spirit to go do the work of God. The work that was God's will. The Holy Spirit helped protect them. The Holy Spirit empowered them. The Holy Spirit gave them the words they needed to say at the right time. Has the Holy Spirit lost his ability or his power? No. The Holy Spirit is still alive and active in those who receive him through Jesus Christ. Christ still calls Christians to fight the spiritual fight, the battles that face us every single day. We are redeemed to become the servants of God, performing his will. God adopts us as his children when we believe in him, when we obey him through Jesus Christ, and follow the instructions given in his word. God fills us with his love. We are changed with God's love to become his children, to go out and reach people that are sometimes not very lovely. But with God, we can push forward and love them. God saved his word, the Bible, the scriptures, for us to learn and then to teach and give to others. We're not supposed to keep the scriptures to ourselves. We're to continue to teach others around us. We don't know it all, but we are to teach what we do know and continue to learn more of the scriptures. How many of you don't have a Bible? Do you not have a Bible? Take one with you and start reading it. Start learning it and share it with the people around you. God's love within us motivates us to boldly share the words of life, life that comes only in Jesus Christ. The second point of this message is that Christians will be afflicted, but also comforted by God Himself. We see and experience all types of battles in this world. Let me list a few of the names that we give those battles. Whenever the weather's changing, we call it a storm, a battle of the air temperatures. We see battles in nature. We see battles, and we call it erosion, survival of the fittest. We call it decay. We call it drought. We call it fire. We call it arthritis. Any of you ever deal with Mr. Arthritis? How about cancer? How about death? It's a battle to stay alive. All kinds of battles around us. And then when Jesus says, you will be tested, you will be afflicted, we say, what? I don't like battles. Oh, yes, you do. You deal with them all the time. The question is, are we willing to deal with the battle of our spiritual life? People willingly sacrifice in order to live in this world. In order to gain something, we must surrender something else. We are in a battle. This sacrifice usually includes our time, our effort, or our money in order to get whatever we think we want. If you want to get stronger, you exercise, right? And there's a battle with this thing called fat, trying to change it into muscle. That reminds me of another old saying that I heard, no pain, no gain. How much do we put ourselves through in other things? We gladly go through hours and hours and days and weeks working on trying to achieve what we want. An investor must give their money in order to make money. To get smarter, we have to give our time, our focus, and our thought to a special study. People are constantly giving. People are constantly sacrificing for what they want. Do we want God? It's going to require sacrifice. Jesus told his followers to expect persecution and reward. It's not just persecution. There's a reward for being faithful. In Matthew 10:16 and following, Jesus described his followers as sheep sent out among the wolves. And he promised that those who remain faithful to Jesus will receive everlasting life. He warned that believers should expect trouble and rejection just like he received. He gives permission even to us to flee from trouble if possible, but he encourages us, do not lose your faith. If you have to suffer for your faith, face it and hang in there because God will reward you. God's comfort comes only after a person suffers affliction. We can go to Jesus. Because Jesus knows what we experience. Jesus suffered. Jesus conquered affliction for our benefit. Paul speaks of the comfort he received from God and from other Christians. People who were praying for him. People who encouraged him. We can have the same. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 12 records how God comforted his troubled people in the past. In James chapter 1 and the first several verses, it tells us we will have troubles. but use those troubles as stepping stones to grow in faith and trust in God. Christians are to use those experiences to help other believers, sharing our burdens with each other, praying for one another. We're to encourage those under trial and share the victories that God gives to us. Encourage one another, bless each other, pray for each other. We're in this together. We're the body, Christ's body. Serving Christ makes us enemies of Satan, enemies of evil. So face it, you're going to have a battle. And the scripture tells us, the Apostle Paul himself uses the words of putting on the spiritual armor. Are you armored up? Are you ready for the battle? God gives us the armor. Christians are to die to ourselves and to live for Christ. In the plant kingdom, we look all around us. God has designed that many seed-bearing plants must die before the seed will be dropped into the ground, and under the right conditions, the seed then will come to life under the right conditions. When you look at a handful of wheat or barley or corn, it looks dead. It's all shriveled up and dry. Have you ever seen living seeds in your hand? When they come off the plant, they look dead as can be. Almost used another old phrase, but what happens? God works His miracle of life. We call it germination. But God designed it under the right conditions, that seed in the right soil or right atmosphere, right conditions, will start to grow into a new plant. Jesus Christ came to this earth in the greatest service for people. Upon living perfectly, never breaking any of the laws of God, He gave Himself to His enemies, laid down His life. He suffered mocking, being brutalized, tortured, and then ultimately crucified until He died. What is it that killed Him? The scripture says the wages of sin is death. Did Jesus have any sin? Jesus had no sin of His own, but He took the sin of all of us upon Himself and paid the price. Jesus paid it all is the name of an old gospel hymn. Jesus suffered for all of us, and He died for all of us. But it didn't end there, did it? He conquered death because He is God. He is the Lord of life. He was the perfect one. He's the only perfect one. And He did all of that. He went through all that suffering for our benefit to show us that there is life beyond the grave. Jesus is the Lord of life, not of troubles, not of hardship, but He's the Lord of life, everlasting life, victorious life for us. God's servants face death boldly. We see it throughout the scriptures. In spite of the hardship, the pain, they faced their death boldly with their faith in Jesus Christ. Paul and his fellow workers were not intimidated by any threat, including death itself, because they served the risen Savior. They served the Master of life. The message of Christ provides eternal life to all who believe in Jesus. Will we keep our faith in Jesus? Will we trust in Him that He will give us life even through the worst trials, death itself? Do we believe that? Jesus gives new life to those people who make Him their Lord, Master, Savior, controller of their will. Total belief and obedience to Jesus is required. In a nutshell, we've said this before, the scriptures talk about the necessity of belief in Almighty God, and especially the Lordship of Jesus for us in this time. It focuses on Jesus as the promised one, the one who was sent, the one who conquered the grave, and the one who's coming back. Jesus is coming back, and we need to be ready. The scriptures tell us that we need to be repenting from sin. What is that word repenting? It's actually a military term that means turn to another direction or about face. What are we supposed to be repenting from? Repent from sin, turning away from sin. Anytime we see we're doing something that the scriptures, that God, that Jesus, the apostles have taught against, we need to be stopping doing that. Change and choose God's way. We are to be confessing our sin to God, pleading for God's grace and mercies through Jesus Christ to touch our life, to confess Jesus as our Savior, our Master, our Lord. We are to be buried in the waters of baptism. Jesus commanded it. The apostles taught it and practiced it. We see it throughout the New Testament, and we continue to practice this burial in water and raising to the new life as described in Romans chapter 6 and other passages of Scripture. We need to live faithfully with Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Master, Lord. We need to be faithful to His body, the church. We depend on each other. Some of you are legs. Some of you are eyebrows. Some of you are lips. Some of you are little toes. Some of you are little fingers. Some of you are first fingers. We're all part of the body of Christ. Are we doing our part, helping each other serve Jesus? Again, we need to be aware of what Jesus Christ expects of us, of what God expects of you and me. He is King of creation. He's the one who holds our life in His hands. We are facing a judgment before God, and will we be found faithful? God chooses all of us who claim to be followers of Christ to be witnesses for Jesus. Christians will be afflicted. Expect trouble. Jesus said you're going to hit trouble because we are on enemy territory. When we serve Jesus, we have become enemies of Satan. But don't worry. God is your comfort. And Christians, let's die to ourselves. Let's live for Jesus. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for grace and mercies. We thank you for the writing of the Apostle Paul as he introduced this letter to these believers of 2,000 years ago of their need to get their life straight in Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that we will be walking with Jesus in obedience to His commands, be faithful and true. Thank you for grace and mercy through Christ and for the open door to all who would believe in Him, turn from their sin, walk in His pathway in obedience. Lead us and guide us in your truth. Help us to face the troubles of life with you and to glorify you, to serve you, to praise you in spite of those troubles. Because you are the God who gives everlasting life to the faithful. Thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.